Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. As we talked about the last time, were that many have lost their passion, have lost their zeal. It's a pandemic that's going on in the church world. They've lost their desire to see God do some things and to get in His presence. But I believe God is turning that around. I believe God is wanting, there is a people that desires to see God empowered upon the church. You see, we're supposed to have a testimony. We're supposed to be witnesses. Witness in that regard is not only that ones that have died out to the world, have died out, but they live the life that Jesus had given. That's a testimony. When they can see you not just talk it, but they see you walk it, and then they can say, God has done something. What has God done? Especially when you go through bad times, times of difficulties, they say, how can you have a song on your lips? How can you have a praise on your lips and from your heart? And when they see you go through what you do, that's a testimony. That's a witness unto the Lord. So I believe God is going to ignite this year, this in the beginning of this year, a greater passion, a greater desire, a greater zeal to see God do some things. But let's go to Scripture today, to this what we have today for you from the Word of God. Verse 26 and verse 27 we'll be reading. Stand for the reading of God's Word, two verses that will take the message from today. When Ezekiel gave it, the prophet gave this to Israel, it was a time when Israel was captive and they was in some bondage states and things of that nature, but God was getting ready to do some a mighty work, and so Ezekiel gave a prophecy to them, and part of that prophecy is here, what we're going to read today. It says, I will make them and the places around my heel, say his heel, a blessing, and will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessings. Say that with me. Showers of blessing. Let's read on to verse 27. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Shout again, showers of blessing. You may be seated in God's presence. Ezekiel, when he gave this prophecy, gave this word, he brought about a word that was called, I put it in my terminology, open heavens. Because when rain comes in and you see the dark clouds rise and they come from a distance, there are times you can even smell the rain. You can see it in a distance, but it's coming. You know it's coming. You prepare for it to come. Ezekiel was telling and prophesying over the children of Israel at this point in time, open heavens. But it was more than just a prophecy to them in the natural. So many times people just look at the natural. If you read more deeply into this, he was talking about what was about to come for Israel and for the world. It was a prophecy about Jesus and what he's going to do. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he came to deliver us from sin. That heredity of sin that was passed down and brought this, he paid the debt for that. It doesn't mean that sin is not around. Sin's still there, but he paid the debt. If you believe him, he will take you out of your sin, not keep you in it. That's what he desires. He forgave you of that. He wants to take you in it. Pastor, I mess up. Yes, you do. We all do. We've all done some things we shouldn't have done, but God has brought his son and the blood that was shed to cleanse us of our sin, and he's faithful to forgive us when we confess it. The prophecy that came, a lot of it came to be fulfilled in the day when the church was birthed. Acts chapter 2. It said that the day of Pentecost had fully come. The wind from heaven blew. A mighty rushing wind, the Bible says, came from that time and it blew in. It didn't blow in a storm. It blowed in some rain. That rain come in and showered that upper room. That's called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings rain. He brings breath because he breathes mightily, because it was like a mighty rushing wind. To blow out the junk, to blow out the pollution of what the world is, and religious things that have come into them as the Jews. But the wind blew in the upper room, the Bible says, and suddenly when it came in like a mighty rush room, their voices changed. Their attitude changed. It became an attitude of praise, because the Bible says they spoke in different languages of the earth and they glorified God. See, when God comes on the scene, you glorify him. When he blows into the room like he has this morning, and like he's done and many times in the past, he's getting us into a place that he can rain on us, that he can give us a shower, give us some areas that we need in this time that we're living in. The Bible says from that point on, the first inkling of growth, the first inkling that we see, because rain brings growth. When you don't have rain and you have a drought, what happens? The ground even cracks. The livelihood of many falter because there's no water to sustain them. But the Bible says when the heavens open after that, that God added the first day 3,000 to the church. Can we imagine what would take place? All of a sudden God brings in 3,000 to this place. Where would we put them? You better put your coats on. We have to go outside and preach to them. I would recommend putting long johns on too. Just get ready. But as Ezekiel gave this prophecy, and we see it being fulfilled even in a greater measure in the New Testament, we see that his blessings were coming down, because the Bible says he would pour out in the last days from his Holy Spirit. He would open the heavens in a way that no one has ever seen before. They said, what has happened to these that were in the upper room, the 120? They were there and God moved mightily. The fire of God fell. And all of a sudden, see, fire and water, they really don't mix. But with the Holy Spirit, they have some purpose. They have some meaning behind them, because the fire of God burns away the things that's been holding you back, excessive baggage, things that's been keeping you from moving forward to God. But then we see God wants you to grow, wants you to flourish, wants you to be fruitful. So he gives you rain. He breathes on you again. In other words, what he's saying, the debtor of yesterday becomes the lender of today. Deadness doesn't mean of the natural. Too many times people are thinking too much of the natural, and God wants to do things in the spiritual that will eventually flow into the natural. See, when we pray to God, we pray to him in spirit. He's a spirit, as the Bible says. God is spirit, Jesus said. And when you pray to him, he answers in spiritual realm first before you see the manifestation in the natural. So you must say that God answers from get-go. You just need to say, God, I'm just expecting you to manifest it. See, can I say you this? When you get a negative medical report, and it may have been just yesterday, but can I tell you that God wants to give you a testimony today? We've had two that give testimony today. Look what the Lord has and is doing. Report, no cancer. Thank God. A report, his heart is good. And God's not done with you, Brother Joe, yet. The greatest days are just about ahead for you, brother, just ahead of you. So you get ready. See, God wants to promote every single one of his believers. God wants to start today. Say, today is my day. It's a starting point. That starting point, you got to have a starting point. Before you can finish anything, you got to start somewhere. To me, people haven't even started, but God is saying to his church, I done it when I died on the cross. I built my church upon this rock, and it shall not fail. It shall not be brought down. And the gates of hell, that means we need to advance the kingdom of God, the call of God, go into the territory of the enemy. It's time we take territory. It's time we come and say that Christ came to give us victory, but more than victory, that we claim the territory where you have. See, Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross, and he died but rose again, that death don't even have any hold on us anymore. So that's a testimony in itself that we have the showers of God's blessing. See, when they come upon your life, whatever the enemy has tried to conclude upon you, what does God do? He invalidates that. It's no longer going to be valid on your life. See, when Christ comes in, I don't care what you've been raised under. I don't care what your family DNA may be. When you come to know Christ, your DNA changes. You're a new creation. You're a new person. Thank God. You may have been abused. You may have had words of poison been put in you. But when Jesus speaks his life over you, you have now a change in your mind, in your life. You are someone different. You're not someone different. I look in the mirror sometimes and I say, I am a child of God. I am called by him. And I have the blood, his DNA flowing through me. I am part of the family of God. Speak it over your life. They'll say, well, that's part of your family DNA. It's just going to be passed on. It doesn't have to be. The blood brings new life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say that again. I love that. The blood brings new life. Thank you, Jesus. The title of the message today, Showers of Blessing, as we read from Scripture. There should be a picture. Look at that. How many has your kids when they were growing up, let me go out and play in the rain. Let me just get out there and play in the rain. No, you'll bring it all in. Well, that in the things of God, we need. This picture shows his child. Oh, yes. He's just standing there, let it rain, let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Thank God for that. This is a promise that Ezekiel was talking about. But the reality, the day of the reality of these showers that are really going to come into play here was when Christ, completing the redemption of humanity, and he brought that, what happened? Heavens was opened. It opened up the floodgates. It opened up the areas that God wants to pour out blessings. See, blessing means favor. It's not how much money you got in the bank. It's not how many homes you own, how many vehicles you have, or what you got here or there, your acclimates or everything else you've got, your education, doesn't matter. It means that God's favor is on your life. Say, I've got the favor of God. I want you to understand that. That's the reason why you need to be fired up, because God's on your side and God's got your back. But he's more than that. He's got you from the top to the bottom, to the front, to your sides, to your back. He's got you. Verse 26 of this same chapter of Ezekiel 34, he says, I will make them and the places all around my heel. Let me just talk just briefly about what he's saying here, my heel. What does a heel represent? What is a heel associated with? What is the symbolic areas of the heel? First of all, he said, my heel. That's God's place. That's God's grounds. That's God's heel. But he said it's a place of blessing. But it represents and associated with strength, endurance. In other words, overcoming obstacles. Because when you can get up, when we was kids, one of the things we did, we always played King of the Hill or King of the Mountain or whatever it is. How many's ever played that? So the object was to get on top and stay there. Not to be pulled off, but you had to get. And it was not easy to get to the top. Because there was other ones trying to get to the top. Other ones trying to get there. See, all of us are trying to get in the presence of God. And there's a place that God has prepared where the blessings are. And what you need to do is try to get up to that point, but you have obstacles. You have things that have come in your life and areas, even people that can come in your life can hinder you. See, we had, when we was kids, we had these other ones that would try to, we was good friends, but hey, we have an objective. We had something we needed to do. We need to get up to the top. We need to get on that mountain. We need to get on that hill. That's going to be mine. I'm going to be the king of that place right there. And so while you're getting up there, they was pulling at you. And while they were pulling at you, they were trying to gain. So what do? You pull back. That was a struggle. That was trying to get it. But the one that arrived, they stood and they says, I'm the king of the hill, they would shout. I think sometimes even though we go through obstacles to get to the place where God wants us, when we start arriving to those spiritual higher ground and we say we have taken higher ground, new heights in the things of God, we need to shout, look what the Lord has done. He's brought victory to my life. He's given me strength. I'm an overcomer. That's what the heel is represented or associated with. The symbol is reaching new heights. Because when you finally arrive, you reach that plateau, that height that you can look over. You can look over some things. See, that's the prize. But more than just new heights, it brings new perspective. It brings you into a place that you can look around where you hadn't seen before. You can see things differently, more clearly now. Where before you couldn't see clearly, but now you can. See, God's holy heel is a place the redeemed come to worship. See, when Israel would always put it, they would put it in the upper places, the high places, the Bible says. They would build temples at the high places. They would make altars in the high places because you're trying to get closer to the deity that they had. Some wasn't always for God. They brought idols and brought them in. Baal was one of the biggest ones. Molech was another that they had, they brought in. And they would worship under those areas of idols. But there's only one that we can worship. That's the reason why Elijah, when he come on Mount Carmel, he says, why do you falter? Why do you halt between two opinions? It's time we get a hold of God. If God's God, worship him. If Baal's God, you need to worship him, but it's time to choose. And church, I have chosen. I have made my mind up. I'm going higher with God. I'm going to see what God has got in store for me, even through the struggles. I believe there's new heights for the kingdom of God, for the people of God to move into. See, what you do, you enter into his presence. If you can't tell, I've fired up. You can't tell from my voice, it's fired up. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy may howl, the many may say a lot of things, but you need to say what his word says about you. Speak it over your family. Speak it over your home. Speak it over your life. This year, you need to make your mind up. I can't wait to see how you burn, how you are lighted up for the things of God this year. I want to see you on fire for God more than ever before. A new perspective, a new way of getting closer to God. See, when you enter into His presence, you enter into that hill, the high places. In other words, you're moving closer to God. But it begins at that hill. You can look at it and say, I don't know if I can get up there or not. When we was kids, we didn't think twice. That's going to be mine. Because you were challenged. When kids are challenged, they come up to the plate. I can do this. I'm going to do it. You can tell your kids. You can tell your grandkids. Now, don't do that. What do? They do it anyway. Can I hear an amen, grandparents and parents? You see them all the time. You can say it over and over. You tell them, don't do that. They go off. Why did you do that? Because you told me not to. I'm just going to do it because I'm going to. So I'm challenging you right now. I challenge you, get up closer to God. Get close to God. Seek His kingdom first. Put it as a priority. You see them heal. You see that area that you need to get up to. You say, I'm going up there. I'm moving up. Say, I'm moving up. See, I'm moving up closer to God. See, this represents higher spiritual ground in the kingdom of God, in God's kingdom. He wants us to move up to the places that He has. See, that brings us closer to what God has. It brings us closer to what He desires. And right there, He can pour out showers of blessings. Say these words with me, time to ascend. See, it's time we've been down this path of lowliness on the low road. It's time we go higher. The other area that we see from here says, I will cause showers. As we've seen the picture, showers. They come down, showers. I love this picture of this young child. Oh, yes. Let me take it in. But one thing that tells me when showers come, even though it's been dry for a while, even though it's been unfruitful for a while, even though you're not seeing things move that you thought should move, when the showers come, what I have found out, the drought is over. Shout with me, the drought is over. In other words, the dryness is coming to an end. The parchedness is coming to an end. The cracks in your life is coming to an end. And it becomes fruitful ground, and where that you can see that when God has said He's going to make you fruitful, the rain brings fruitfulness. Showers. We used to sing a song years ago. Send down the rain, Lord, send down the rain, send down the latter rain. Holy Ghost in the rain, Lord, Holy Ghost in the rain. Holy Ghost in the latter rain. We need showers today. We need God to do that. What is a shower? It's water coming from heaven to earth. Water from the clouds. But in this case, God is opening not just the windows of heaven. The Bible says He's opened the heaven. He's opening heaven. If you picture windows, they come up to a certain level, and if He opens them up, that means that what's down below can't get out from where the window is. So this is excessive. Excess. That's what it is. But when God opens the heavens, He opens the floodgates. And what's down below the windows all of a sudden start coming out, and an outpouring comes from Him. And all of a sudden, you stand there, and all you can do is just enjoy the showers. You get ready. One thing that we did years ago, we stopped by when we got our older grandkids. They was coming home with us, and we stopped by Niagara Falls because our oldest son was in the military at Fort Drum, and he was there, so we picked him up, and he was going to spend some time with us. And so when we picked him up, we stopped at Niagara Falls. And they have a place you can look at a distance and take in the magnificence of Niagara Falls. They've got a something that you can lean against. a safety area that you don't have to go over, a rail that you can kind of glance at. You hear the noise, and it takes you back. Well, the noise is, wow. The power behind the falls that they have there is wonderful. It's great. But they said, here, if you go a little bit closer, you can feel the water. So my grandson and I said, let's go. My wife and I said, no, I don't want no part of that. I'm okay right here. So we ran over, and we got under the sprinkle. And we could feel the water just hit us a little bit. But all of a sudden, the guide came along. He says, if you really want to feel the power of the falls, you can take a boat ride. But we got to get you ready, because we got to put some rain gear on you, because you're going to get soaked. You're going to get soaked. I looked at him and said, you ready to go? He says, yeah. Martha says, we can't. We don't have time. We got, because we had to be somewhere. My desire was to go on the boat. My desire was to get soaked. My desire, and I told my grandson, I says, you ready to do it? He looked at me and he says, I'm ready. Let's go. My wife said, no, no. That's like a lot of people. I just want to stay at a distance. I hear about things of God. I see that affects a little bit about the things of God, but I don't want to get any closer. Then you get some that kind of, yeah, I can feel the drops. But then you get the few that is willing to go out just a little bit further and get on the boat. And when you get on the boat, you get the things ready. You put the rain gear on, you get ready, and you get soaked in the water that comes from that Niagara Falls. But with God, I don't want to be at a distance. I don't want to look at it from a distance. I just don't want to feel a sprinkle every once in a while I come to church. Let me get on board and lift up the name of Jesus and let him pour out the showers of blessing upon me. And let it come to the church. Let it come to those that are willing to go a little bit further, to move out a little bit deeper, to go to that place called the heel of the Lord. Climb up to the next perspective. Climb up to the next place that God has for you. Shower of blessing. Don't just look at it from a distance. Don't just feel it every once in a while, just hit you just a little bit. But let it come on you. Let it soak you. You'll slosh in it. Thank God for the blessings of God. See, this is God's water, heavenly spiritual water that's flowing. In the last days, I will pour out the showers of blessing. Pastor, I've heard that all my life. It's time that we experience, not just hear about it, not just see it from a distance, not just feel it every once in a while when we come around where his presence is, but you step in and say, God, soak me with your presence. See, water is a blessing from God. Rain giving the blessing from God. That's what rain does. It comes down and lets the water fall on the earth and let it fall. But God wants to bring it from the heavenlies. Fall upon his church again, where we can be productive, where we can have that area of growth where we need to see. People are looking for that. They're not looking for the dead mundane anymore. Entertainment's not cutting it anymore. They're needing the power of God. They're needing people that are soaked in God's presence, that have fire deep in their side, deep in their belly. Like the prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't keep silent about it anymore. See, when the water hits the ground, what does the ground do? Responds. Especially if it's a soaking rain. It just soaks into the ground. Here pretty soon, winter's going to pass. And we're going to have the spring rains come. And what are you going to do when the spring rains come? Around our area, you get ready to plant if you're a farmer. If you're a gardener, you get ready for your garden. But if you don't have any of those things, you get ready to mow. Because you got green grass, and it grows. And sometimes you mow two or three times a week thinking, I got to keep it down or it's going to overtake things. Some says, no, once a week's enough. That's enough for me. It's growing more and more. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to green up your area. God wants to green up some things and bring fruit to your life like never before. But you must come into his presence. You must be made aware to climb the hill. Get in God's presence, the hill of God. This is my hill. This is where my blessings is. This is where my showers fall upon you. See what happens to the ground. It becomes productive. Crops grow. Everything around becomes green and starts being fruitful. You're seeing things happen. And pretty soon you can remember when you was growing up, the fruit from those either vines or those trees, eating certain things that you can't have all year long. Sometimes they're just kind of done by man, but it doesn't have the great taste like a good old-fashioned garden. You get it, you get that corn where it's just come in, you put a nice butter on it, you boil it, it's good. You don't care if when you slap butter on it, what it looks like, what you look like, you just eating some good stuff. It's good and sweet. You can have some green beans. Some people said, I don't like greens, but I'm telling you what, sometimes God, I think that's one of God's colors, green. No wonder our money is green. Brings prosperity. That's what happens when you let God's rain come. Showers of blessings. You get under the shower and you say, God, this is great. This is wonderful. It gives me strength. It gives me this. I have arrived unto where your hand is and your showers are pouring out upon me. This year. Showers of blessings are coming to those that have made their mind up. I'm going higher with God than I've ever gone before. I'm going to get a new perspective. Higher ground is my goal. Higher ground is my area that I've got my focus on. There's an old hymnal called Higher Ground. We need to get up to higher ground. We need to move closer to God than ever before. The enemy's been turned loose. The spirit of Antichrist is running through the land. But I'm here to tell you, there is the real Christ. His name is Jesus. And we need to come into his presence. Open the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out your rain. Pour it out, God. Verse 27 says this of chapter 34 of Ezekiel. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. I call that abundance. How many knows that Jesus said, I come to give you life, but I come to give it not just life, but give it to you more abundantly. This is abundant living, not death. So many times people seem to think I'm walking around in death. You need to wake up. You're living in abundance. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you are living in abundance. Don't let circumstance or anybody else take you out of that position. You're not defined by those. You're defined by what God says about you. Abundance. Say abundance. What is this? It means that the field shall yield her increase. It says here, shall yield increase, abundance. Knowing that the Lord is God, giving blessings, showers, what it does, brings an effect upon your life. All of a sudden, you start being fruitful. You start having spiritual fruits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When you used to have a temper, temperance comes in with the Holy Spirit. You no longer let that temper take you over. When you can't love, all of a sudden love just overtakes you. When you say, well, I don't have patience, all of a sudden God says, I'm going to pour out some blessing on you by giving you some trials. So to teach you some blessings. See, this is a blessed life we're talking about. Showers of blessing. This was a prophecy given to Israel, but it's for the world. It's for those that know their Christ, for those that have come to where he's at. God's presence brings blessing. See, it brings abundance, which is growth. It brings fruitfulness, which is growth. It's luxuriant beyond measure. That's growth. Touch your neighbor. He says, time to ascend. When we see this, as we read verse 27, because it talks about the shower, and then it talks about the effects of the shower in verse 27. It talks about what is going to take place. See, open heavens means not only God's showers. See, blessings means favor. Say, favor of God. You got the favor of God resting upon you. And when you got the favor of God, I don't care what it looks like, smells like, feels like, you got God on your side. The Bible says that God was with Christ, and look what he did. And he told us, you shall do greater. I'm looking for the greater. Not the lesser, the greater. Favor of God. Then he goes on and he says, they shall be safe in their land. Safety comes in the presence of God. In other words, protection, security. Thank God for his protection. That wipes away fear. For if God's for you, who can be against you? If he's going before you, he's preparing a way. When Christ came from heaven to this earth, he prepared a way that we can come into God's presence. We can come to the cross. And when we come to the cross, see, it's vertical and horizontal. He brought peace, but he brought a way for us to cross over to the heavenlies, into the place of that higher ground. That perspective we need, we can communicate to God now. We can communicate to man in a different level now. But it also brings increase, which means prosperity. Pastor, wait a minute. You're talking about prosperity. You know, without, he's talking about prosperity because when he talks about fruitfulness, that's being prosperous. You don't want to plant anything and you don't want it to grow. Am I correct? If you plant a garden, you expect something. You anticipate what God's going to do. The Bible says the earth then yields its increase. So if we believe prosperity is of God, the blessings of God brings prosperity, fruitfulness. It brings increase. But too many people are not wanting to get the increase because they say, wait a minute, that's prideful. No, this is God, because when God prospers you, you can prosper the kingdom. You can help the kingdom to bless the kingdom of God, to take the gospel, to touch the ministers, to move upon the missions, to do whatever. See, God increases on you so you can increase in the kingdom and be a blessing. Too many times people just looking at their small little seed, well, I got to keep it for myself. Plant it. Give it according to the word. I challenge you this year, try him and see what he will do. Try and see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you blessings. Try him and see if he will not rebuke the devourer at the time of the harvest. Try him and see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out not only blessings, showers. If you look at this, everything's been opened up in heaven according to this prophecy. And God wants to give it to you. You know what I see here? It's a spiritual overflow. It says, they shall know that I am God. And when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. See, when God gives you spiritual overflow from the rains coming from heaven, from the water coming from him, the showers that God is going to turn on and that overflow right there, everything that's around you has been sticking to you, that's been holding you. Can I tell you that the anointing of God is that overflow that comes upon the believer? You're supposed to be anointed. And what does the anointing do? It breaks every yoke. But it slickens things up that even the enemy can't get a hold of you anymore. Thank you, God. When the enemy tries to get a hold of you and grab you, what happens? He slides right off. Whoop, there he goes. He's moving fast. He's trying to get you like a roaring lion, but he gets next to you, and the anointing of God is on you. He can't even keep a hold of you. He slides down the next way. That's spiritual overflow. That's freedom. Thank you, Lord. What happened? Yoke-breaking anointing. Things that's had you bond in bondage breaks now. He said he breaks it. Not just takes it off, he breaks it. When you break something, what do? You take it out of its use. It's no longer useful anymore. Say, I'm free. See, this is bondage-breaking deliverance. But you've got to get under the spout where the glory of God is pouring out. See, this brings me to some areas of conclusion here. Because when you decide, when you make up your mind that you're going all the way before God and you want everything that God has, so many times people just stop. Bam! That's all the further they want. That's all they want. I'm satisfied here. But you know what? You'll stagnate. God never asked us to stagnate. When you get around stagnated things, it stinks. How many's ever been around things that are spoiled? They stink. What do you do with it? What do you do with it, Sister Joyce? You throw it out. See, God never called us to be lukewarm. God called us to be on fire. He'd rather have it either hot or cold. He'll take either one. Don't be lukewarm about this thing. You can't be lukewarm in this age we're living in. You got to make up your mind that I'm going to serve him up on higher ground. But it means that I'm no longer barren. When you're barren, means you can't produce. You can't give over. I'm no longer barren. This is what it's telling me. I'm going to make the ground fruitful again. I'm going to make your life fruitful again in the things of God. That means I'm going to be fruit-bearing. When I'm fruit-bearing, that is for others to grab a hold of. The fruit is never for the plant or the tree that does it. It's for others. What will spoil the fruit? It takes one bad apple. It takes one thing that can come in your life, if you don't watch it, that can spoil your whole life. And you're long, no longer, but if you get under the showers, that'll be washed away. You wash that stuff all away. You know what this tells me? Harvest. And we're living in harvest. And I'm anticipating God's going to bring a harvest to New Creation Fellowship Ministries here in Warsaw. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Harvest. I can't wait to see who he's going to bring our way. I can't wait to how he explodes on our church services, the things, and they start coming in. And they said, wow, we didn't know there was a church. We didn't know there was a people that's on fire for God, that's under the showers, that's under the blessings of God. We want to be a part of that. We need more of that. We need God in this hour. We need showers to open up. Open the heavens, Lord. God, bring refreshing. It's time for renewing. It's time to let the old go. It's time to let things that has hindered you, that's brought you into a dry place. The drought is over. We've moved into a place now. Fruit bearing will happen. Abundance, harvest will take place. See, when you have a renewing, your strength is renewed. Your mind is renewed. Your vision now becomes more clearer. your spirits, now your inside jumps and leaps for joy. No longer bound with those things. In other words, your inside starts sprouting because it comes from the internal to the external. I've heard people tell me all the time, well, God just looks at the heart. Well, the heart speaks on the outside. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, that's an excuse to continue doing sin and getting that. God wants to bring you out of that sin and let your inner man, because your spiritual man, come alive in you and outside of you. You're no longer that old man. You no longer have those old things on you. And the water, the shower of God can pour over you and make you refreshed and give you a time. Some of you have been in a place where you feel wore out, and God wants to give you new strength. God wants to revitalize you today. God wants you to take you, but you've got to have a made up mind. I'm going up. There's others may pull on you. They may try to keep you back. So, no, I just want to be up there. But you need to say, no, that's the place I need to be. My heel. God's place. God's heel. God's higher ground. Say new heights. We're going to do that. See, this is a divine downpour. This is a divine downpour. The drought has ended. Say that again with me. The drought has ended. I want you to get that in your spirit. The dryness is going to leave you. And all of a sudden, you're going to see fruitfulness come out of you. God's going to open doors where you never thought it would be opened. God's going to give you prosperity where you never thought it would be. That's where fruitfulness is. That's the reason why you have planted and you've done everything. Now your seed is going to start bearing fruit. See, Elijah said this to his servant. And he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Can I tell you, I told you in the beginning that you can tell when a storm's coming in, or you can tell when rain's coming in. You can hear it coming. Especially if it's a storm, you can hear the thunder, the clap. You can see the lightning sometimes in the distance, but all of a sudden you see the rain come. I believe God is coming with a rain to pour on his church. And I don't think it's very soon, and very soon he's coming back. I understand it. But he's not coming back after a church that's on life support. He's coming back to a church that's been made well, that's alive and well on planet Earth. And they have given themselves. See, he's coming after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That water will wash away the areas that have influenced you, that have brought stains and spots on your life. And when you get under that, God knows how to clean you up. God knows how to give you a right perspective. You're on new heights now. You can look things differently. I'm ready to go. How about you? I'm ready to move where God's at. Can I put it to you this way? Not only hearing this, but I believe it's a great awakening. The Bible says that in Matthew 25, that there was awakening that came to the 10 virgins that was there. Five had oil, five did not. But awakening came, and I believe we're in that time of awakening. See, it's not in the White House. It's not in Congress's house. It's not in the Senate. It's not in the political ranks, but it's in God's house. It's in God's places where he's at. That's where the answer's at. That's where we can see God's pouring out. How many's like this young child? God, I want more of you. Just pour out into me. Pour out on me. Stand to your feet, if you would, please, over the building. Those that have been listening have tuned in. I truly believe there's a place that God wants you to come to. There's a place that God desires for you to be that he's at. It's called my heel. That's the place of the Lord. That's a symbol of climbing up to the next place in God. But that's a ground, that spiritual ground that you must come up to. And God wants you to come up to that. This year, 2024, God is coaxing you. Come up, come up. The prophecy came through Ezekiel. And he gave it to Israel. But Israel, now it means that Christ through Israel is bringing about that area of the blessings of God. The heavens are opened. But until you get in Christ, you will never receive what God has until you come and know who he is and know him intimately. So many times people know of the blessings of God, they know of the word of God, but they don't know God. And God wants you to know him. There's a difference. I can quote the scripture all day long. I can be blessed by him all day long, but he wants to be with you, near you, intimately desiring that. But until you desire to go up the hill, until you desire to climb that place, is it going to be easy? Some of you are looking at that and says, wait a minute, there's some obstacles I got to face. Yes? When Abraham went up the mountain and took his son, he took him up there for a reason. And as I'm talking to someone that's listening here, when Abraham was going up the mountain by obedience from God, because he had to get to the place where he can worship God, get to the higher ground, get to that level ground, that spiritual ground that God wanted him to be. He was looking at his son because there's an obstacle in for his way. Some of you have been holding on to what God's given, your gifts, and that's all you're holding on to. And God says, you got to release them to me. It's not about your gifts because I give it to you. You got to let it go and let God. And Abraham got up to the top, and about the time he was taking his knife and was going to take it into his son that was on the altar, God says, stay your hand. No, that's not my purpose, but you are willing. See, that's abundance. I give it to you, this blessing. I'm going to let you keep it. And what was off to the side in the thicket, God had already made provision. See, until you start looking around, God's got provision for you, but you got to get to the place where God's at. My prayer for those that have been listening, go higher. Get under the showers of blessing. Be like little children that wants to run in the rain. They want to do more running in the rain. They see a puddle, they want to stomp in that puddle. They do this. Splash it all around them. I can't wait to see us as kids splash the things of God around us. That's what God wants to do. This year, let the showers of blessing come to your life. Let him pour on you, but you got to get into his place called the hill, his hill, the higher ground. In Jesus' name, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in time and season. God, you desire to bless your church, to bring favor. God, you desire for us to move up higher, a new perspective, a new higher ground, new heights. God, it's up to us to take the next step. It's starting point. We're at the bottom, and God, we need to move up. Or maybe you're even halfway. You started, but you didn't finish. You got to keep going. Got to keep going. I pray. Even though the obstacles have been there, even though you have things pull on you, you keep going. You keep going. Go to new heights, and you'll find God's blessing. I hear the sound of abundance of rain, and God is going to send showers upon those that have made their mind up to go all the way and to be in God's presence to his heel. In Jesus' name, amen.